Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there that may be listening this morning. I know many of you are getting ready for your church services and Sunday school and all those things, and so am I, thanking God for this day that He has made. And I'm thanking God for my awesome mom. You know, before I get started this morning, I just wanted to say thank you to my mom. I want to thank my godmothers. You know, just thank all the women that have been in my life, my village. You know, and those are the ladies of First Chapel AME Church, Paducah, Kentucky, from the Paducah, Kentucky Salvation Army, who were there with me as a little girl growing up. I am so thankful, you know, to Miss Ruth and all those that have gone on. They changed my life. And so I am so grateful to be a child of God. God gave me many moms, mothers, and friends. He gave me a village. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you to, Miss Ola, Miss Mary, you know, Mary Kibble, Miss Fliss, Miss Wilson. Oh, so many, I can't name them all. And I won't try because I will miss someone, Miss Charlene and so many others. You know, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for pouring into my life. All you awesome women of Paducah, Kentucky, thank you for being there for me. Thank you, Aunt Marilyn, my Aunt Janet, directed those, you know, ladies that were there all my life. You know, special to my auntie, my Aunt Jan that passed on. God, I love you. You know, God knows I love you much. You know, we used to have some awesome conversations, lots of laughter. One of the nicest trips and funnest trips. My daughter, we had a daughter, mother-daughter trip and auntie. So my mom, my goddaughter, well, my daughter, I'm going to call her my daughter. She's my daughter of my heart. My granddaughters and my Aunt Jan. We took a trip to Florida one summer and laughed. I have never laughed more 16 hours in my life. Just fun. You know, and of course, my Aunt Janet's favorite place is the Cracker Barrel. So we had to stop at the Cracker Barrel. And of course, everyone in the car's favorite thing is shoe shopping. It's a family illness. I'm not even going to speak on how many shoes I have and not have enough places to put them. As they say, I watch, the show on MGTV, and they come in and they redo your house. And I thought, if I had to get my house redone, I think it's sell it or fix it, or fix it and sell it, or something like that. Sell it or keep it, whatever. The lady comes in and she totally does your house for you to keep it. And then he takes you to look for houses to sell it. So I think it's keep it or sell it or something like that. But I could just use some sprucing and enlarging of my closet. But just thankful that I have a home, because someone does not today. That is a mom struggling with her children, wanting to give her babies more. So I say today, God, Father God, as we go forth in this word, please bless the moms out there. Bless those mothers, Lord God, that are struggling especially. Those that want to do better for their children. Those that have children that may be in foster care by no fault of their own. Those that may be in situations that they need not be in. Father God, you know every struggle. You know every situation. You know every happy mom who has those children that are there for her always. Those grandmas that get phone calls from their grandchildren just to say Happy Mother's Day. Those godmothers who were there to help raise those children. Lord, we give shout-outs to godmothers today because it's godmothers that are there helping them, their daughters, helping their children, helping those that need some help. Foster parents, Lord God, I give a shout-out to foster moms today for they open their homes to children that they did not give birth to. They open their homes in love. And Father God, I just thank you for pastors who are mothers in their own right over their flock, if they are women, and fathers over their flocks if they're men. I give shout-outs to pastors who are the ones that come out in the middle of the night to pray when your child has been in an accident or maybe murdered or maybe your husband died or whatever your situation, or you might be having emergency surgery and you need your pastor there to pray over you before you go in. Let's send out prayers to female pastors today who must mother flock, who must shepherd flock, who must be there for their flock. So shout out to mothers all over this world. A special prayer for those that are in Ukraine. And then those that are in Russia and Afghanistan and all the places of war. Africa, the continent, which is going through some issues of famine in many countries. So, Father God, in the countries of Africa, I ask you, those that are in famine, those that are in need, to bless them, oh God. Bless them with everything. Bless them with food. Bless them with overflow. And Father God, as I look at my own nation, a nation divided by so many awful issues, I ask you, Father God, to help this United States become united on this day of love for mothers. Lord God, let mothers teach their children love, not hate, not bigotry, not covetous spirits, not lying and cheating spirits, but spirits of love and kindness and gentleness and patience, long-suffering, hope and faith, oh God. Help them to teach their children all the things that are the fruit of the Spirit. And that they will have long lives, Mom. That moms will have long lives and peace and joy that can only come from you, oh Father. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. As we read this word, let it touch someone's heart, mind, and spirit. That brotherhood is not always about blood, but about love. In Jesus' name, I lift up this word. Thank you, Lord God, for waking me up this morning, clothing my right mind, giving me strength in my body, and a voice to speak. In Jesus' name I pray. Ask you again, Father, please increase as I decrease. For you are my strength and redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Having a little issue this morning, but I know that my daddy God can solve it and that I am okay. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thanking God for another day. Because he did not have to wake me up this morning. But he did. So thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you, Lord, for grace. For your grace and your mercy toward me. In Jesus' name again I pray. Amen. So get into the word, get into your word, get the Bible, y'all. Get your Bible. I said it again, get your Bible. Because this is a Old Testament Sunday as we thank God for mothers, but we're going to talk about a king. A king who lost it because he did not know how to listen. How to do what he was told to do. Instead, he did his own thing. And he's going to lose it all because of it. And all we can say is, wow. And David loved God like a dad. He loved him. And he wanted to be there for him. He wanted Saul to just be a dad to him, kind of thing. So let's go back to our word this morning. And on, we're going to be coming out of 1 Samuel. We're going to talk about David and Jonathan, brothers of the heart, not of the flesh, but of the heart. These young men loved each other, a friend closer than a brother, was Jonathan to David. Jonathan cared about David. You know, when you can have someone in your life like that. So we're going to go over to 1 Samuel, starting in chapter 14, and we'll be going to our actual word for this morning. As far as brotherhood, it's coming out of 1 Samuel, chapter 18 through 19. So we'll be reading 1 Samuel, starting at chapter 14, verse 1, and we'll be ending at chapter 19, verse 24. And we're going to talk a little bit about friendship, brotherhood, love, and envy. It's a whole lot going on in today's lesson, you know, and that God chooses who God chooses. God anoints who God anoints. Don't give up your anointing by going after things not of God. When God says wait, you wait. When God says go, you go. When God says do, you do. I don't want anyone losing what God has given them. And this is what it says now it happened. One day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison. That is on the other side. But he did not tell his father. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Ajai, the son of Atad, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was bringing his ephod. But the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of one was Bozaz, and the other Sinu. The front of one faced northwest opposite Mikmet, and the other southwest opposite Gibeah. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you according to your heart. Then Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hands, and this will be a sign to us. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistine says, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden. Then, the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you something. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and he came after him and As he came after him, his armor bearer killed him. That first slaughter, which Jonathan his armor bearer made, was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. Whoa, let me say something. Half an acre is just about where you, your house would be. So you had a corner, a house that's set on the corner. A half an acre is about your house and pretty much all of your house and the land around it. Not even quite half a block, or maybe close to about a block, about a third of a block, I guess, if you wanted to put in a block, because most blocks are about half a mile, or half, like an acre and a half, you know, 2 acres, somewhere in there. So they did some damage in that little bit of space. And it says, and as he came after him, his armor bearer killed him. That first slaughter was Jonathan and his armor bearer. Understand, 2 men killed 20 men within half an acre of land. Wow. And there was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so that it was a very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and there was the multitude melting away, and they went here and there. Then Saul said to the people who were with him, now call the roll and see who has gone from us. And when they had called the roll, surprisingly, Jonathan and his armor bearer was not there. And Saul said to Ajai, bring the ark of God here. For at that time, the ark of God was with the children of Israel. Now it happened while Saul talked to the priest that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines continued to increase. So Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Then Saul and all the people who were with them assembled, and they went to the battle. And indeed, every man's sword was against his neighbor, and there was very great confusion. Moreover, the Hebrews who were with the Philistines before that time, who went up with them into the camp from the surrounding country, they also joined the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to Beth Avim. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had placed the people under oath, saying, cursed is the man who eats any food until evening before I have taken vengeance on my enemies. So none of the people tasted food. Now all the people of the land came to a forest, and there was honey on the ground. And when the people had come into the woods, there was the honey dripping, but no one put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard his father's charge, the people with one oath. Therefore he stretched out his hand at the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb, put his hand to his mouth, and his countenance brightened. Then one of the people said, your father strictly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed is the man who eats food this day. And the people were faint. But Jonathan said, my father has troubled the land. Look now, how my countenance is brightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much better if the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found. But now would there not have been as much greater slaughter among the Philistines? Now they have driven back the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon. So the people were very faint, and the people rushed on the spoils and took sheep, ox, and calves and slaughtered them on the ground, and the people ate them with the blood. Ugh. And we know that is against God. Then they told Saul, saying, look, the people are sinning against the Lord by eating with the blood. So he said, you have dealt treacherously. Roll a large stone to me this day. Then Saul said, disperse yourselves among the people and say to them, bring me here every man's ox and every man's sheep. Slaughter them here and eat, and do not sin against the Lord by eating with the blood. So every one of the people brought his ox with him that night and slaughtered it there. Then Saul built an altar to the Lord. There was a first altar that he built to the Lord. Now, Saul said, let us go down after the Philistines by night and plunder them until the morning light, and let not us not leave a man of them. And they said, do whatever seems good to you. Then the priest said, let us drive near to God here. So Saul asked counsel of God, shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you deliver them into the hand of Israel? But he did not answer him that day. And Saul said, come over here, all you chiefs of the people, and know and see what this end was today. For as the Lord lives, who saves Israel, the Lord being Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. But not a man among all the people answered him. Then he said to all Israel, you be on one side, and my son Jonathan, and I will be on the other side. And the people said to Saul, do what seems good to you. Therefore Saul said to the Lord, God of Israel, give a perfect lot. So Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Saul said, cast lots between my son Jonathan and me. So Jonathan was taken. Then the Lord said to Jonathan, tell me what you have done. And Jonathan told him and said, I only tasted a little honey with the end of the rod that was in my hand. So now I must die. Saul answered, God, do so and more also, for you shall surely die, Jonathan. But the people said to Saul, shall Jonathan die who has accomplished this great deliverance in Israel? Certainly not. As the Lord lives, now one hair of his head shall fall to the ground, for he has worked with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, and he did not die. Then Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. Now understand, what Saul did was not of God. He didn't ask God. He didn't ask God, should his people go on a fast before they went out to fight? Because understand, when you go out to fight, you got to eat. You got to be nourished. You got to be in fit condition, ready to go. You can't eat too much, but you can't eat too little. And understand, Jonathan was like, I ate a little honey, because Jonathan didn't make that oath. He wasn't anywhere to be found. Jonathan was doing what the Lord had called him to do, which was to start this thing, which was to kill. You think again, 10%. No, not even 10%. Yeah, 10%. Two men kill 20. Two men kill 20. But note what Jonathan did. What did he say to his officer? Do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you according to your heart. And he told him. He said, we're going to pray first. Jonathan wasn't going up to that garrison without praying first. But he said, what we're going to do is whatever the Lord tells us to do. And this is what he said. But if they say, very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say, thus to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. And what happened? The Lord delivered them into their hand and caused the Philistines to fight each other. And then all of Israel to come down and beat their tail. But Saul, acting in Saul's way, doing stupid stuff, didn't understand. And he was going to kill his son. And the people was like, not today. Not today, Satan. You're not going to do it. You're not going to touch Jonathan. Not a hair on his head. What did they say? And Jonathan told him, he said, I only tasted a little honey with the end of the rod that was in my hand, so now I must die. Saul answered, God do so and more also, for you shall surely die, Jonathan. Now he just put a curse on his son. Put a curse on his son. But the people said to Saul, shall Jonathan die who has accomplished this day, this great deliverance in Israel? Certainly not. They're like, we will turn against you. You're not going to kill him. As the Lord lives, not one hair of his head shall fall to the ground, but he has worked with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, and he did not die. Then Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. So Saul established his sovereignty over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab, against the people of Ammon, against Edom, against the king of Zobah, and against the Philistines. Wherever he turned, he harassed them, and he gathered an army and attacked the Amalekites and delivered Israel from the hand of those who founded them. The sons of Saul were Jonathan, Jeshu, Malchishai, and the names of his two daughters were these. The name of the first was Merab, and the name of the younger, Micah. The name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz. And the name of the commander of his army was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner, the father of Abner, were the sons of Abiel. Now there was fierce war with the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him for himself. But all this is what Samuel said would happen if you ask for a king. They're going to take the best of your family, your sons, your daughters. They're going to make them servants. They're going to put them in the army. They're going to do all these things. And so when Saul saw anybody that he thought was strong, he was taking them from their family. Even if they were the heads, it didn't matter because he was the king. And let's keep going. Chapter 15. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, "Go depart. Get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is in the east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Now, didn't Samuel say kill everybody? That included killing the king, right? Let's keep it moving because this is a good word this morning. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen, the fatlings, the lamb, and all that was good, and was unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. Now, hold on. Let's go back to this word here again. And just say, let's do this again. What did Samuel say? Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel. How he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all, not some, not the weak and the nothing, but all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." In other words, annihilate them. Annihilation. And in our day, in our age, with wars and rumors of war, that seems so cruel to kill babies, you know, to kill nursing infants, to kill any child, to kill, you know, babies in the mother's womb. But when God said annihilate, that's exactly what happened. But listen this. Let's go back one more time. So Saul didn't kill the king. They didn't kill all the oxen and the lamb and all those things. And now let's keep it going. This word is real here. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up God's king, but he has turned back from following me and is not before my commandments. And he grieved him, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. Now thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that was the word of God says, thou shalt not make any graven images. But he done set up a monument to himself. So Saul's going down the wrong path here. So when Samuel rose early in the morning, to meet Saul, it was so similar to saying Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and fallen down to kill God. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this belting of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of an oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, be so. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but you know, you can hear him now, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and not on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back the God, king of Amalekites. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, and the best of these things which should not have been done by my sin. And he goes, have been done, utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. He's like, well, I got the best of the best to sacrifice to God. And I bet Samuel's looking at him like, you must be some kind of silly when the Lord specifically told you what to do. And look, it wasn't no kind of, sort of, woulda, shoulda. It was specific. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering? Woo, come on now. Here we go, y'all. Samuel don't play. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Can y'all say it with me? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of lamb. For rebellion is as the sin of what? Witchcraft. I say it again. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Lost it. Just disobedient. Told not to do a sacrifice, didn't sacrifice. Told to kill and slaughter everything in the Amalekites. Instead, we're going to bring back the king, and we're going to bring back the best, and we're going to do this. And everything Saul did for Saul, and forgot what he was told to do by God. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. And, you know, I always wondered in this word, why is it that God forgave David so many sins but didn't forgive Saul? But let's keep going. It says, but Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king of Israel. And the reason why is because Saul never truly repented. He never repented. He just didn't want to not be king anymore. It says, and Nathaniel turned around to go away. Saul seized the edge of his robe and it tore. So Daniel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent. But he is not a man that he should relent. Our God is not a man that he should lie. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me, that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me. So Agag came to him cautiously. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is bad. Cocky. Like, I'm good. Your king took me in. I'm all good. But Samuel said, as your sword is made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel has to gasp and pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house at Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. We will have lessons and life lessons after we get through our word this morning. For those that are like, well, what's the life lessons or life questions for this word? We'll get to those after we get through the word today, because it's just such a good word. Whew, I'm just telling you, a friend is closer than a brother. And as we get into our lesson, it says, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Then I rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I named to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, did you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice of the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord does not see a man, see as a man sees. But man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Did y'all catch that? Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Because remember, Saul was tall and handsome and kingly looking, but he did not have the right heart. He did not have that brotherly love. He did not have that I am going to follow whatever God tells me to do. He didn't know how to be obedient. And so as we continue in this word, it says this. So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, but we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and bright-eyed and good-looking. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. and Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player of the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. So Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man who can play well, and bring him to me. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his honor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And so it was, whenever the spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the army of the Philistines named Goliath. We all know this story. We learned it as children. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield-bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the army of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I did to defy the armies, and I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons, and the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near and presented themselves 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah, this dry grain, and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousands, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back word of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went to Jesse and commanded him that Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight, and shouting for battle. But Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hands of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, as he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and will give him his daughter and give his father's side exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine? Take away the reproach from Israel, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his older brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, but you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first one did. Now when the word which David spoke was heard, they reported them to Saul. And he said to him, "Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight that Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from his mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. See, he has defied the armies of the living God." Whew, David's upset. Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paws of the lion and from the paws of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, but he had not tested him. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, so I have not tested him." So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had in his sling, within his hand. And he drew near the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "Come on now, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel." Ooh, a friend is closer than a brother. The Lord is David's friend. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. This day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Whew. The Lord God is our friend, and he's closer than any brother. So it was when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. Then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he flung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sleeve, and killed him and cut off his ear with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road of Sherem, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." So the king said, "Inquire whose son this young man is." Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" So David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." 1 Samuel chapter 18. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house any more than Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off his robe that was on him and gave it to David, with his armor, even to his sword, his bow, and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines that the women had come out of the city. Whew, come on now, they're getting ready to start some stuff. Of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000. Then Saul was very angry, and the same displeased him. He said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed only 1,000. Now, what more can he have but the kingdom?" So Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it happened on the next day that the distressing fear from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, "I will pin David to the wall." But David escaped his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed from him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Then Saul said to David, "Here is my elder daughter, Merab. I will give her to you as a wife. Only be valiant for me and fight for the Lord's battle." But Saul thought, "Let my hand not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him." So David said to Saul, "Who am I that is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?" But it happened at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel, that meet all her life, height as a wife. Now Michael, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the king, and the thing pleased him. So Saul said, I will give her to him, that she may snare to him, that it, and that the hand of the Philistines be against him. Therefore Saul said to David a second time, you shall be my son-in-law today. And Saul commanded his servants to communicate with David secretly, and say, look, the king has delight in you, and all his servants love you. Now therefore become the king's son-in-law. So Saul's servants spoke those words to the hearing of David. And David said, does it seem to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law? See, I am a poor and lightly esteemed man. And the servant of Saul told him, saying, in this manner David spoke. Then Saul said, thus you shall say to David, the king does not desire any dollars, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to take vengeance on the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. So when his servant told David these words, it pleased David well to be turned the king's son-in-law. Now the days had not expired. Therefore David arose and went, he and his men, and killed 200 men of the Philistines. And David brought back their foreskins, and they gave them in full account to the king, that he might become the king's son-in-law. Then Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, as a wife. Thus Saul knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, and Saul was still more afraid of David. So Saul became David's enemy continually when the princes of the Philistines went out to war. And so it was, whenever they went out, that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. Chapter 19. Now Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David, but Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted greatly in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, my father Saul seeks to kill you. Therefore, please be on your guard until the morning, and stay in a secret place and hide, and I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. Then that what I observe, I will tell you. Thus Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father, and said to him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been very good towards you, for he took his life in his hand and killed the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw and rejoiced. Why then would you sin against innocent blood to kill David without a cause? So Saul heeded the voice of Jonathan and Saul swore, as the Lord lives, he shall not be killed. Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all these things. So Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in time past. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and struck them with a mighty blow, and they fled from him. We will be a little bit over this morning on this Mother's Day because I want to make sure we get our word in. And we have just a little bit of time, but excuse me again. Thank you, Lord. The Lord just said no. We're going to end at chapter 18, and we'll be starting at chapter 19. On tomorrow in 1 Samuel. And we will go over life lessons also tomorrow. So thank you so much. I don't want to get out of here without a prayer and a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. So we will be just a touch over, but not a lot, because I know you're all getting ready for Mother's Day, and I don't want to make anyone run late. And so a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, came on yesterday, and it said this, a savvy blessing. May your day be surrounded with God's beauty. May you experience his grace, favor, and love today like never before. Make your heart be filled to overflowing joy. Have a blessed weekend. And I say to you today, mothers out there, have a blessed and wonderful Mother's Day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I'm thankful for all of you, and I'm thankful for all the moms out there. So give your mother a hug. If your mother has gone on, thank God for what you have. Thank God forgiven you what he gave you with your mom. But a mother is special, and God loves you and he loves your mom. We read our prayer on Friday, so we will be back together in prayer on tomorrow. Again, thanking God for all of you. Have a blessed and wonderful Mother's Day. Thank you for listening in this morning. And I just thank God for all of you. Father God, again, I pray over all the mothers listening in today. Lord God, give them a wonderful and peaceful day. Let their day be filled with joy. Let their day be filled with peace. Let their day be filled with overflowing of love. In the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, Lord, we pray this for every day. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're asking one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray again over all of you moms, over all of you listeners. Be blessed and know that there is one God, and he is friend closer than a brother. Thank you so much, family. It is a wrap. Again, happy Mother's Day to the moms, and just have a wonderful day to everyone else. And remember, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. If they don't bring out the word of God, stand up, walk up, because it's not for you. That's all I got this morning. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap.